10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needs something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Vingan. Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley, here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Drake Hills, who covers Nashville SC for the Tennessean. Drake, what's going on? How are we doing?
Yo, happy Friday. Happy Friday. Good to talk to you again, Robbie. And you too, Adam.
Good to have you on with us. Appreciate you being here, Drake. So, what stood out to you the other night in a very significant win for Nashville SC? They get it done 1-0 against the Seattle Sounders the other night. First off, shout out to Joe Willis. What a save the other night in that game. But other than that, what stood out to you about the performance from the boys in gold on the pitch?
Yeah, man. Joe Willis, number 6 on the SC top 10. That's pretty good for someone who, you know, through the month of June had a couple of struggles that led to Elliot Panico, who was a 2020 first-round pick, taking his job for a couple of games. So good for Joe to get that confidence back and show he's still the number one. But as for Nashville as a whole, I mean, this team has – they basically did the little things that have put them in a position where they lost a couple of games that they should have won, i.e., you know, Portland Timbers at the beginning of the month where, you know, as I mentioned, Elliot Panico, he had pretty much a howler, a big mistake that led to a penalty, which led to a comeback draw on Portland's side. So basically doing the little things in Panikos and in possession, basically taking care of the ball and not doing too much in possession, especially when the opposition is pressing in Nashville's own third of the field, and keeping it simple, not trying to do too much with it, not trying to be overly possessive, but being purposeful with the ball and just not giving the other team an opportunity to score easy goals. Coach Gary Smith talked about gifts. He said we've given teams a lot of gifts over this season, which is quite the difference from what we've seen from this team over the past 2 years. When Nashville would go up at Nissan Stadium, it was very rare. In fact, I mean, I don't think that they gave up a loss and rarely gave up a comeback draw at home last year. They've done that a few times, not just in MLS play against Portland, but also they've had to go through that against Atlanta United, in MLS play against Atlanta United. And even when they were responsible or in transition to move towards a shutout, right, getting a shutout at Geodis Park this year, they failed to keep that clean sheet. So I think last game against Seattle was the epitome of a good turnaround for Nashville.
Drake, we talked to you so much about, you know, Hany Mukhtar and Walker Zimmerman and the stars that they have, but how important is Randall Liao and what he brings to the table for this group when he's in there on a nightly basis?
I think Randall Liao is the most underappreciated player, not just for Nashville, but for Costa Rica. This is a guy coming off that ankle injury that he had in early May against RSL, I believe, and missed pretty much 6 weeks. And in that time period, you saw teams like Montreal, you saw teams like Kansas City, although, you know, on Juneteenth when Randy Al returned, you know, he was only just as a sub, but the damage was already done. Kansas City was already in the driver's seat to win that game. Without Randall Leal on the team, Hany Mukhtar and CJ as a front two are absolutely swarmed, and they don't have someone to create for them. That's what Randall Leal is. Leal is the ultimate creator, someone who came into this Nashville team a few years ago as an out-and-out winger. And what I mean by that is he was the guy who was just going to, you know, toe the sideline. He was going to run at you with the ball, technical dribbles, fancy stepovers, all of that flamboyancy. But what Gary Smith has turned Randall Leal into is the central figure where he can dictate almost like a point guard. He can set up other teammates. He can create his own. And I think what happens is that unlocks Hani Mukhtar and CJ Sapong in a way where they can just make the runs behind the defense and score goals that way, especially as you saw against Seattle, where with Randle in that central attacking midfield role, he has the knack to go and dispossess, whether it be Seattle, whoever they're playing, and set CJ or Hani up, you know, 20, 30, 40 yards down the field. And that quick transition, that quick counterattack is something that we've seen Nashville do so well over the past year and a half. So with Randle Leao, I think, you know, not only is he the most underappreciated, underrated player in this attack, but I think with Costa Rica going into the World Cup, he really does deserve to be on that roster.
Drake Hills of the Tennessean joining us here on Robbie and Rexro. Drake, Robbie and I had some fun at the back line's expense earlier this week because of the statement that they put out asking for, among other things,
a beer discount, huh?
Yes, yeah, a beer discount, as well as quarterly meetings with Ian Ayer. It appears that Nashville SC has agreed to meet with backline supporters regarding these demands. I'm curious for your just opinion on this situation and if you've heard anything about Nashville SC's response and how they plan on attacking this moving forward.
Yeah, so what I've been hearing is that although the date has been selected, there hasn't been an actual confirmation and maybe even a follow-up on the club side to make that happen. However, the concept of having a quarterly meeting or even demanding a meeting by means of, you know, threatening the club that there will be no soundtrack, quote-unquote, the sound and the cheers and the chants that you hear when you go to a game at Geodis Park, now that is something that just that's rare. That does not happen. And when you take a look at where Ian Ayer, the CEO of Nashville SC, is coming from, we're talking about top five, one of the biggest soccer clubs in the world at Liverpool. Ian Ayer used to run that club. That doesn't happen when it comes to supporters and the access that you are to have with someone of that caliber. And so to have Ian Ayer and the club agree to such a meeting is a statement in and of itself. Now, has there been some communication issues on the club side? From what I've told, yes, when it comes to altering and changing where the supporters groups and the tailgates will be held in and around the stadium. Originally, it was set to be and has been for a few games near the old Expo buildings at the fairgrounds. And for several games, they've moved that entire setup to Fair Park on the south side of the stadium. That creates a lot of havoc when it comes to welcoming enough people to park. And, of course, it's a much longer walk, and not everybody is mobile in that sense to go up those stairs and those huge ramps. So there have been some discrepancies on that front, but the demands, especially, you know, threatening to not have a soundtrack, to not have any sound or support at a game, it's pretty that would be detrimental, and especially with this stadium being as new as it is, with so many Nashvillians and Middle Tennesseans coming to watch a soccer game for the first time. I think they have to get that fixed because, you know, that can be an embarrassment, not just in Tennessee sports, but for league-wide.
It was a pathetic statement, I thought, from the backline supporters group. Drake, last thing here for you. As the final stretch is now upcoming for this team, what do you make of the position that they're in, and how dangerous do you think this team can be coming down the stretch heading into the MLS Cup playoffs?
Well, if they play like they did against Seattle, they're going to do just fine. And what I mean by that is I think you could see this Nashville team opening a stadium and hosting a playoff game in that stadium in the same season. I think that's very much up in an impossibility for this Nashville team. They're currently in third with a lot of teams around them that lost midweek. And so when you take a look at who they're going to be facing, especially at home, it's helpful that you're going to face this best team in the league, LAFC. They just signed former Real Madrid, you know, Wales star, guy who came from Tottenham, Gareth Bale, who could potentially make his debut on Sunday at Geodis Park against Nashville. But you've also got games you still have to play, you know, hosting Minnesota, hosting Dallas, hosting LA Galaxy. You're going to be hosting Vancouver Whitecaps at the end of the month. So there's a lot of home games that are in favor for this Nashville team. And so I think this could be a team that, especially playing at home, they could make a playoff run.
Drake Hills from the Tennessee and our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road does an outstanding job covering Nashville SC for the Tennessean. Drake, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you making time for us this morning.
Robbie, Adam, you guys have a good weekend. Thanks so much.
Absolutely, you as well. Drake Hills, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Predators coming up next. What is the next move at top six forward? And there are three guys I want to get Adam's thoughts on as to what it would take for the Predators to maybe go get those guys. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are your racing station. 102.5, 106.3, The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Make sure you tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Ambetter 301. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 102.5, 106.3, The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Adam Bingham, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Tiger Woods has just missed a birdie putt. He will then tap in for par on 18, and he will finish his day at plus nine overall in the tournament at the Open. So he's done.
He looks sad. Now he's waving to the crowd.
Yeah. So he's going to be done for the week. No cut for Tiger Woods at the Open. So that sucks. I was hoping he'd do better than that.
I don't really have any other comments.
You have nothing to say about Tiger Woods?
No. Okay. I mean, look, he should be commended for making a comeback after everything he's been through physically, but he could be fine to retire and enjoy the spoils of his excellent career.
Oh, I don't know if he's going to do that, though. We'll see what happens on that front. You did have a tweet that you wanted to read regarding the Kevin Lankinen signing for the Predators.
Yeah, we've kind of panned this move quite a bit. But Travis Yost, who does work for TSN, very statistic heavy work for TSN, quote tweeted the Predators signing yesterday and said, quote, "Very smart, near zero cost bet. Is he a quality backup or terrible? It is worth paying $1.5 million to find out just how bad Chicago team effects were." and I can understand that because he makes a good point that Chicago was bad and if you're a good player on a bad team, the overall quality of the team is going to bring you down.
Sure.
So I think, I understand Travis's point there that you hope behind a better defensive team, although the Predators were not a great defensive team at certain points last season, but with the addition of Ryan McDonagh, that should improve. You would hope that basically not facing a proverbial firing squad every night would help Kevin Lankinen. And, yeah, maybe it is worth $1.5 million to find out. But I just think overall that is not a position that the Predators were in desperate need of filling, which is why I thought the cost was a little prohibitive.
So as of today, as we sit here today on July 15th, who do you think the backup goalie is for the Predators? Is it Lankinen or is it still Ingram? And they're going to try to have Lankinen as maybe the third guy. I mean, look, Willie, to his credit, has talked about this over the course of the past week of maybe going to find like a veteran NHL goalie that you stash away in the minors that if you need him down the stretch, he's there. Do you think that's the route they're taking for Lankinen? And if so, then $1.5 million kind of seems steep for that. Who do you think is the backup goalie right now for the Predators?
I mean, I don't think they would have paid Lankinen that much for him to be in the minors.
I wouldn't think so.
I think it's going to be Lankinen.
I don't know how you feel great about that if you're the Predators.
Yeah.
He's getting paid more money than David Rittich made last year. David Rittich was, I believe, at 1.25 last year for the Predators.
Yes, and now he's at 900,000 for the Winnipeg Jets.
I was shocked, by the way, that he got NHL job.
I mean... Look, I know the Predators were in over their heads against the Avalanche, but he was awful.
Just terrible.
To start that series. Awful. and the fact that he was the fact that he was overtaken by a goaltender with two games of NHL experience, that says to me all you need to know about David Rittich. But the Jets needed a backup. You know, their backup, Eric Comrie, went to Buffalo, and Connor Hellebuck is a goaltender like UC Saros that can play a lot of games. So, you know, my advice to the Jets coaching staff is try to limit him to maybe 15 games.
So there are, which, hey, with Hellebuck, who likes to play a lot, that may be what ends up happening. So there are three guys that we discussed here on the show that maybe fit the category of a potential trade target for the Preds. One of them being JT Miller, one of them being Gustav Nyquist from Columbus, and then Alex Killorn from Tampa Bay as well. Let's kind of go one by one through these, and without knowing exactly what the price is, just let's talk about our best guess as to what it would take for the Predators to acquire these players. So we'll save the JT Miller one for last because I think it's probably the most complicated. Let's start with Nyquist out of Columbus. So Columbus has just signed Johnny Gaudreau and Eric Goodbranson, and they're right up against it cap-wise, and Nyquist has 1 year left on his deal. He's a top-six forward. He scored 18 goals last year. I believe he had 53 points. What do you think it would cost? I guess probably the better way I should ask is, do you think it would cost the Predators anything to get Gustav Nyquist from Columbus?
No.
You think they could do it for future considerations?
Yes.
I think they probably could too.
I think they could.
So then the question becomes, is that the route you should go immediately, or is that a route that maybe you save in the back of your mind and try to go for a Killorn or a Miller before then, or maybe somebody we're not thinking of, but those are just the kind of the three guys that come to mind. What about Killorn? How much do you think it would take to get Killorn away from Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I think you could probably get away with a trade similar to the one that got Ryan McDonagh. An average NHL player that doesn't make as much money and a prospect, or maybe a prospect and a pick. You know, Killorn is older. They can't take on salary, or they can't take on much salary because they did take on Meyer's salary, which was 2.55. So I think something similar to what the Predators traded to get McDonagh would probably do the trick.
So the JT Miller part of it, what do you think of what it would take to get him? Because he's a little bit more complicated, I think, because Vancouver is up against it cap-wise. But JT Miller is a player that put up 99 points last year, and he's been a productive player for basically his entire career. Now, last year he did take a bit of a jump. So you look at JT Miller's stats, 32 goals, 99 points a year ago. You know, prior to that, he had been a good player, right around a 70-point kind of projected player the last few years in terms of had they played an 82-game regular season. But what do you make of JT Miller being out there, and what do you think it would cost the Predators to get him? Which, as we found out earlier from a clip we played from the DDC yesterday, the asking price apparently from Vancouver for JT Miller has been pretty high in the past to this point.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if it would take like a first round pick and a solid prospect, at least. You know, a recent trade of a high profile forward is Jack Eichel. Now Jack Eichel's a bit different because Jack Eichel is under contract for a long time, while Miller only has a year left. But you know, Eichel, you know, fetched the Buffalo Sabres Alex Tuck, who's a good young NHL player, Peyton Krebs, who was the Golden Knights' number one prospect, a first round pick and a second round pick. That, you know, so I wonder if it would take, you know, something like that, a first-round pick, you know, a top prospect, and an equivalent, you know, a strong young player. So would it be a first-round pick, Luke Evangelista, and, you know, Yakov Trenin's negotiating rights? Would you do that for a year of JT Miller? I probably wouldn't. But, you know, that might be what Vancouver is looking for. I think what works to the Predators' advantage is, as we learned with the Max Pacioretty trade, the market for top forwards on teams that are cap-strapped is soft. So maybe the market isn't as robust for JT Miller as the Canucks would hope, and they might have to take you know, a bit of a discount, so to speak, to get him off the books if they're committed to doing that.
Well, that would be the hope, because I don't really see a scenario where the Predators could sign him long term. I mean, you've got Johansson locked down. I think it would be pretty difficult to move that contract. Duchesne locked down for, what's he got, 4 more years right now?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Philip Forsberg, obviously, who has a no movement, no trade clause. He's not going anywhere. So that's 3 forwards with more than $8 million per year. I think it would be very difficult for that a longer-term deal to come about with JT Miller.
I mean, I think Dante Fabbro would probably be someone that would have to go the other way. You know, they need help on defense. Vancouver does. He is from the area, which is always an appeal for teams and players alike. So, you know, I think, and you know, he's cost effective this season and under team control. And we've talked about, you know, what's interesting is our friend Arpin Basu, who covers the Canadiens for The Athletic, wrote a story yesterday about Jeff Petrie, and who's the, you know, veteran defenseman for the Canadiens. And he took what Kent Hughes, their GM, said about what they're looking for in a trade for Petrie, and he, you know, basically canceled all of the teams out based on the things that Kent Hughes said. And he landed on the Predators as he thinks is the best fit. You know, a top four of McDonough, Josi Ekholm, and Petrie would be interesting. I don't foresee that happening. I don't think they need to do that.
No.
You know, with Miller, I think if you're looking to save a little bit and maybe clear up some space on that defensive depth chart, it might, you know, Dante Fabbro might be someone that catches Vancouver's eye.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. What do you make of the options for the Predators to add at top six? What would you do if you were David Poile and the Nashville Predators? We'll get to some of your thoughts coming up next. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 1025, 1063, The Game.
The cap, they've been shopping around JT Miller. What's the market like for a trade for JT Miller for 1 year right now? Or is it only going to be to a team that wants to re-up him long-term?
No, I don't think there's any rules there. First of all, I'm a big JT Miller guy. I love the way he plays. I really do. You know, he's a bit of a... His personality is definitely edgy. There's no question about that. And he really has a major presence in a room. But, you know, I mean, that's not a big deal. We all deal with edgy people all the time. I really like Miller a lot. I think Vancouver is looking to clear space, and I think you guys could really handle that. But I think they're asking a lot. And, first of all, I should have probably considered this earlier. I think he'd be a perfect fit for you guys. I really do. I just think the Canucks, like, for example, we had heard during the year that they were talking with the Rangers, and the names that were being thrown around were like Filip Hedl and Kaapo Kakko and Braden Schneider, who the Rangers didn't want to give up, and that was one of the reasons the deal fell apart. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, it's been rumored that Vancouver is looking for. So I think you would have to see, do you guys have a package like that which could entice them? Now, the one thing that really could help you here is if you're not looking to extend Miller, I think Vancouver has been very, very wary, extremely wary of allowing anyone permission to talk to him about an extension. If it's happened, like as of the draft last week, I don't think it had happened. Now, there had been some sense that maybe Vancouver might change their mind on that issue, but I don't know that it's happened. But if you're just looking at him as a one-year guy, I think that would be a perfect fit, but understand that that's the kind of trade that the Canucks have been looking at.
That was Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet yesterday on the DDC discussing the JT Miller situation, potentially a trade target for the Nashville Predators. 99 points last year for the Canucks. Canucks needing to trade some contracts out to get some cap compliant, and JT Miller has been rumored for the past few weeks. So, Adam, what did you make of what Elliot Friedman had to say there and how that relates to what the price could ultimately be for JT Miller if you're the Predators?
Well, I wonder if the Canucks are reticent to allow teams to talk to JT Miller about a potential contract extension and the Predators are not in that particular frame of mind. Maybe that changes the price. I don't know. But as I was just saying, I would expect the Canucks to want a pretty significant return for a player who was incredibly productive for them, especially last season. So, if the Predators were in that position where they were quote unquote one player away,
right,
and you're giving up a lot of future assets for 1 year of JT Miller, that makes more sense. But if you're bringing him in to this particular team, which is definitely not one player away, I wouldn't give up a lot of future assets for one season of JT Miller and hope that, you know, the team can
the price
catch
has to be
lightning
right.
in the bottle.
Yeah, this is not a at all costs go get JT Miller type situation that the Predators are in. Like, the price has to be right, and the price is probably going to end up being a little bit more than like Max Pacioretty. I mean, obviously they gave Max Pacioretty away there, so we'll see what happens on that front. But I think it's certainly a player worth looking into if you're the Nashville Predators. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Cameron from Murfreesboro, who wants to weigh in. Cameron, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey guys, it's a pleasure for you guys to have me on. I appreciate it. I just have a couple questions. I know we're looking at the free agency and things that are available there, but there have been a lot of questions amongst the Nashville Predators Facebook page and things like that, and discussions amongst other fans like myself. What about some of the players that are not necessarily free agents but are wanting out of their teams? And it may be a long shot, but players like Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews or potentially Matthew Tkachuk. I would love to hear you guys discuss that that potential long shot trade if we were to, you know, get rid of some of our long term or higher budget players such as Ekholm or Johansson, which we would all hate to see go. But I would love to hear you guys discuss that.
Hey, thanks for the call, Cameron. We appreciate it. So he brought up Tkachuk there from Calgary, and then the two Chicago guys and Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. Let me first start by saying this. The Chicago guys aren't coming here, but let's just say for the sake of argument that they were available to you if you're the Predators. I don't know why in the world the Predators would have any interest in Jonathan Toews.
No.
Like, Jonathan Toews,
he's not the player he
is
once
not
was.
The same player that he used to be.
He's dealt with some health issues.
Very expensive. He's dealt with some health issues.
He recently missed a full season.
Right. Like, I don't know that Chicago, and I don't think it's a definite that they won't be able to. Honestly, I would be surprised this season if Chicago is able to move him. Like, he's not the same guy. And with the cap hit and with the price that is on the table with him, I'd be surprised if Jonathan Toews ends up walking to, you know, the Blackhawks management and says, all right, now's the time. Like, I want out. I don't know if they're going to be able to get rid of him.
I think you could find a team like let's just say for the sake of argument, you know, Edmonton at the trade deadline is in a position to, again, challenge for a Stanley Cup, and they've got Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, and you're acquiring Jonathan Toews to be your third line center or something like that at a reduced price. I could see that.
You'd have
like
to retain
that.
A lot if you're in Chicago.
But they have the space to do that. So, you know, I could see something like that happening. I don't see it here. You know, I don't see Patrick Kane here. You know, who's the other person you mentioned?
Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah, Tkachuk is interesting. I mean, Tkachuk is a great player.
He is.
But, you know, and, you know, the thing is the Predators don't have that space for him. He's got a $9 million qualifying offer. So even if he played on this qualifying offer, you have to make room for a $9 million contract. And I can't imagine that the Flames are eager to take on any of your high-priced contracts. So I'm not sure I see a fit. The one player that I keep coming back to, you know, that's not as exciting as those players, but I think is due for a change of scenery is Jesse Puljujärvi in Edmonton. And I think he can be had for a relatively reasonable price, and he's an RFA, but he won't cost a lot. And this new contract, you know, the downside to Puljujärvi, though, is a knock against him is despite having the, you know, really good underlying numbers, he hasn't put up a ton of points, and he's been known to play with Connor McDavid. And if you can't put up points with Connor McDavid, then, you know, how is he going to put up points with Ryan Johansson?
I could probably put up 10 points in an NHL season with Connor McDavid on my line. For him, like, banking one in off my butt or something like that.
Right.
Like,
I mean, Zach Cassian cashed in by playing on a line with Connor McDavid, and it turned out to be an awful contract that the Oilers moved to Arizona during the draft. So, you know, he's certainly a change of scenery candidate. He may not excite people, but he's young and he fits the profile of what the Predators are trying to do. So, yeah.
Patrick Kane is interesting to me, not necessarily for the Predators, because, number one, I don't think Chicago would ever trade him in the division. But he's interesting to me in terms of, you know, they've got full no movement clauses. So it's ultimately going to have to be either Toews or Kane that come to the Blackhawks and say, all right, it's time. And I think that's going to happen this year. I think by the time the deadline comes around, Patrick Kane will have done that. And I think somebody will add Patrick Kane at the deadline next year. I'm interested to see what that looks like and what the return is, because I think the Blackhawks could get a lot for Patrick Kane at the deadline.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's a 3-time Stanley Cup champion and one of the most productive players of his generation. It would be incredible for a team to end up with that, end up with Patrick Kane as a ringer in the postseason. I mean, hell, remember in 2015, he was out with a broken collarbone and miraculously recovered.
He did.
For the playoffs.
He was ready to go.
The Predators, so.
Pulled a Kucherov.
Yeah, there. Imagine a team going for it. That's the ultimate going for it move for sure. So that would be fun if you're not, you know, a fan of the Blackhawks or a team that would have to face a Patrick Kane's new team in the playoffs.
If I could hand select a forward though right now in the league to join the Predators, who I think fits in perfectly in terms of what they need and also with the way they like to play, it is Matthew Tkachuk.
Yeah.
Like, he is the guy.
Yeah, for sure. It will be really interesting to see what happens in Calgary because, you know, I think he may have been wary of re-signing there to begin with, and now that Johnny Gaudreau is there, does he want to commit, you know, the prime of his career to a team that seems to be in a bit of flux? And Tkachuk is also, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, scuttlebutt about Tkachuk in St. Louis because, of course, his dad, Keith, played there, and, you know, that's where he's from, that area. You know, I'm sure the Predators.
That would not be fun.
That would not be fun if you're a Predators fan if you played for the St. Louis Blues. But, you know, if we're fantasy booking, you know, the perfect Predators roster, you know, Matthew Tkachuk would certainly be on it for me.
He would certainly be on it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, buddy. Man, I thought that last caller was terrible. I only know how to boo Patrick Kane. I only know how to boo Toews. I don't think I could see them in Preds gear, man. Like, I think I'd still boo them, honestly. I'd probably get good tickets, get clothes, scream and cheer, and then boo that one particular person. Because, I mean, they're great Blackhawks, man. They're not Preds. I don't want them over here. But that's not why I called. So I'm actually concerned. The Preds didn't make a change, right? And that, you know, we're past that point. They didn't make a change at head coach. They didn't make a change at GM. But our GM's like 150 years old, and you would think if he was in his last couple years, he's had a big, long Hall of Fame career, and the only thing he hasn't done is won a cup, that he would do something to go get a cup. And I just don't feel like he's been aggressive. I sound like the same loser fans that say it online, but he needs to be more aggressive. If you're in your last couple of years, be more aggressive. What do you have to lose? I mean, that's the way I look at it. What does he got to lose?
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. I appreciate it. I mean, I definitely understand that line of thinking that Adam just brought up. I will say being aggressive to a certain degree is what put them in the situation they were in with their roster.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were talking.
Which I understand. They should have gone for it. I don't fault them for going for it, but that's when you go for it and it doesn't work out. Then you have to.
I mean, there hasn't been a. There hasn't been, unless I'm clearly missing something, there hasn't been a bold move that has worked out for the Predators since they traded for PK Subban, and that was more than 6 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could argue now.
Duchesne.
You could argue Duchesne, but you could also argue Granlund. But at the time, when they were actually going for it, Granlund didn't work out.
No.
And
Hartman didn't work out.
Hartman didn't
Wayne,
work out.
Wayne Simmons didn't work out. No. Brian Boyle didn't work out. Kyle Turris didn't work out.
Oof.
You know,
that was the one that still stinks.
David was aggressive.
Sure.
And they're pegging for a lot of those most – they are paying for a lot of those mistakes right now. You know, you look at a team like Chicago, for example, that's in the position it's in. But, you know, for you know, there's been a lot of, you know, other stuff that's around the Blackhawks that's been terrible that's not necessarily on the ice. But, you know, they're, if you're just looking at the on-ice product, which is hard to do, but if you're only looking at the on-ice product, you know, they're in a bad place right now. But you know what? They had their window, and they took advantage of it, and they won three Stanley Cups. So as a fan, you might be able to live with some lean years and being aggressive if it leads to championships. Same thing with the LA Kings. They were a largely irrelevant team until recently after winning two Stanley Cups. So, you know, I think they were aggressive, the Predators were, but it backfired, and now they're sort of having to, you know, dig themselves out of that hole.
We'll continue to take more thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. More thoughts on that coming up next. Also, look ahead to the Prospects game coming up later here in about 45 minutes, which we will carry live here on 102.5, 106.3, the game as well. This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up using promo code ROB, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. The Yankees, they've been struggling a little bit as of late, dropped two to the Reds. I think they rebound in a big way. That's who I'd go with, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook. They've got great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid quickly as well. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up using promo code ROB to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Speaking of this Friday morning, join us today, later this morning, in about 13 minutes for the 2022 Preds Prospect Showcase. As the future Preds hit the ice for a scrimmage, all the action will be called by Willie Donick and Chris Mason on Smashville's Best Sports Talk, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and the Game Nashville app. Looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Willie and C. Mace will be on the call. Pre-game happening as well with Chase McCabe, so make sure you tune in for that. Also tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds host the Memphis Redbirds, the AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals at First Horizon Park. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. 615-737-1025, your thoughts on the Predators. The Prospects game is coming up, Adam Vinyan. I'm interested for a couple of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily for this game itself, but to watch and to monitor as they move into camp. Igor Afanasyev, could he have a chance to make the team out of camp this year? How does Luke Evangelista look against pro competition entering into what will technically be, I guess, his first full year of pro hockey? He did get a look in the AHL a few years ago with Chicago during the COVID season. I think he had 4 points in 14 games done a little bit of growing since then, so how much different does that look? But Afanasyev is the guy, especially at the forward spot right now at camp, that I feel like has a chance come training camp to make the team.
Yeah, whenever I watch these prospect games, I always, of course, you're looking at the, you know, the higher end prospects, and you want to see them dominate, I guess. I mean, it's a scrimmage, but they are playing hard. It's not like they're dogging it out there. But you want to see the higher end players clearly look like higher end players. You know, you want to see Luke Evangelista or Igor Afanasyev or Zachary LaRue. You want to see them look like, you know, players that can make an impact on the actual Predators in the years to come. So that's what I always keep my eye on. You know, you want to look, you it's hockey in the summertime. That's always fun. And, you know, it's a great way to stay cool in this terrible weather.
Oh, come on.
It's awful. But I tend to look at, you know, okay, does Luke Evangelista look like he's head and shoulders above the other players right on the ice, which talent wise he should be. But how does that, what does it look like in an actual game?
Yeah, I think that's really important to look at. Obviously, Joachim Kimmel going to be out there today in the game as well. And then there's Askarov as well. Like, it would be cool today to see Askarov put on a show. Like, obviously, there's a ton of hype around this guy. Mm-hmm. And he's still very, very young. So I still think he's a couple of years away, probably at least, from the NHL. But it'd be nice to see kind of what that talent looks like and him to put that on display in this game. Like, you look at this pipeline, and, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Adam, that, you know, Corey Pronman was writing pieces about this. We talked about this on several shows that you and I have done about how the prospect pool wasn't very good. There just wasn't a whole lot of depth and wasn't a whole lot of high-end talent. They've gotten better from a depth perspective. Like, they've done, a decent job of restocking the cupboard in their prospect pool over the last few years. But the question still remains of, like, who are those guys that can step in and, once they're NHL ready, make big impacts on your NHL team? And maybe we begin to find out the answers to some of those questions over the next few months as they show up in a training camp.
Yeah, and that'll be good to see, because when you think about, you know, the higher end players, you know, higher end draft picks that have made impacts on this team in the past couple of years, there really hasn't been that many. And to be fair, there was a period of time where the Predators were trying to win and they traded prospects and they traded first round draft picks. So they weren't getting those types of players. But, you know, we look at some of the players that have been drafted in the past 5 or 6 years. I mean, we talked about Dante Fabro.
Yep.
He's been, you know, hit or miss at times. We've talked about Eli Tolvanen, same thing. You know, we like what we've seen from Philip Tomasino, but the jury's still out. So you'd like to see some of these players coming up, you know, make that impact, because the one thing that we always say is that the one thing this team is clearly missing, particularly at forward, is that young entry-level player who can, you know, change the fortunes of a team. And oftentimes you need to be really bad to get those players, but teams have proven that you don't have to be picking at the top of the draft to find them. So, you know, the Predators need to hope that one of these players upcoming can be that guy for them.
I've watched a lot of these prospect games over the years. It's always interesting because there have been some of the higher level draft picks that we've talked about that have really stood out, and some of them haven't. Like, I remember, I think it was Kevin Fiala in one of these. Like, you could just see, like, the talent was pretty evident. I also remember watching these games sometimes with Tolvanen in them and thinking to myself, was that it?
Yeah.
From Eli Tolvanen? Like, obviously he would get shots off, and when he would shoot the puck, you're like, okay. I mean, that's a NHL quality shot. But just in terms of kind of dominating the play and dominating possession, it's been hit or miss with some of these prospects. Now, having said that, like, if Luke Evangelista goes out there today and just lights it up, that doesn't mean that he's all of a sudden gonna, you know, just turn into some superstar in NHL training camp this year. But it would certainly be encouraging for one of those bigger guys to have a memorable day here coming up at Fordyce Center in Bellevue.
Yeah, and it should be a fun atmosphere at Fordyce Center. And
first time they've been able to do this in a couple of years.
Yeah, and you know, I remember a couple of years ago they had the rookie tournament here before the season. They had a couple of teams, the Hurricanes, I believe, and the Capitals and the Lightning are usually the teams that participate. So, you know, this is always, it's always a good way to sort of end and the season, so to speak, before the slow period of the off season. So I hope everybody goes out there and has a good time, and you can listen to it here if you can't make it out there.
That's right. We're going to have pregame with Chase McCabe coming up here in about 5 minutes or so at 10 o'clock when that happens. And then Willie and C-Mace on the call for the prospects game coming up this afternoon at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. It is open to the public, so you're welcome to go out there and watch the prospects game. Going to be a good time out there. Adam, it has been wonderful having you on the show all week. We've had a great time, had a lot of great feedback as well, and you're not done with us here at the station.
No, summer. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me. You know, I'm filling in at least one day next week with Jared as Caroline and Michelle head to Atlanta for SEC Media Days. Find those egg trees for me while you're down there.
Yes.
Don't you worry.
So anyway, I'm excited. You know, I'm really grateful that Chase has given me the opportunity here to fill in on the radio, but I'm sure everybody is looking forward to having Joe back finally next week.
Joe Rexroad will return from his hiatus coming up on Monday, so we're looking forward to that. That's going to do it for us today. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Listen to the Preds Prospect Showcase coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.